Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Make your presence known to us. Enter our hearts, open our minds and our ears so that we can hear the word that you have for us today. And Lord, please use me as your vessel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our scripture today comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Now hear the word of God. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as a Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God who they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and their sisters also. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we know from Charles' sermon last week a little bit about 1 John. We know that it was written to a community that had been dealing with false teaching. Namely, there's Gnosticism going on there. And the Gnostic teaching was very black and white. Material things and things of this world were bad. Spiritual things were good. And then there was a lot of people who thought that they had higher knowledge of any other thing going on. And they thought that Jesus was not human, but all spiritual. And then there were the gospel teachings. So the people believed, well, no, we think that God is both, or Jesus is both human and divine. So I suspect that there was a little bit of tension going on in this community because they didn't agree on the same things. And I'm taking this from just looking at years and years of churches. And when people don't agree, there tends to be tension, right? We see that. So that's what I'm thinking was going on there. They had some disputes. And it may have happened that these disputes got nasty. It could have been that people were taking sides, that they were really polarized. It could have been that just disputes among people just talking kind of devolved into name calling. Sometimes that happens. I know that never happens around here for any of us, but just in case it ever does, I think we should pay attention to what John is saying, because I don't know if y'all noticed how much the word love was used in the passage that I read today. It was used a lot, over and over and over again. And the kind of love that's going on here, John was trying to get the people in this area to realize that God was love, is love, and that they need to behave in a certain way. And what he's talking about is agape love. It's that love that we have when you don't expect anything in return. It's self-sacrificing. And that's the love that God has for us. God is agape. We know this because of what God did through Jesus. Jesus's act on the cross was agape love. We also know that God is the source of love. In this passage in verse 7, it tells us that love is from God. It also tells us that God is love, and that our ability to love comes from God. So we know all of this, and we know that God wants us to love that way, to love everyone sacrificially. And this type of love is not always easy. We can agape some people, We can love some people most of the time, like our spouses, our children, our parents, our friends. But I say some or most of the time, because even with the people we love the most, we still have trouble sometimes showing them that kind of agape love. And God's wanting us to show that to everyone. Even the people that we might find a little bit annoying. I don't know, y'all might not have any of these people in your lives. But sometimes some of us have some people around us that we might find annoying every now and then. But we're supposed to show that kind of love to everyone. And there are also people who, for some reason, they decide that a whole group of people is not worthy of love. And so when I was thinking about this, this one character came into my mind, because he was having trouble showing love to a whole group of people. And then one day, he had an opportunity to learn a little bit more about them, and he was transformed and changed in a quite miraculous way. So I want to show you this clip so you can see what I'm talking about. So yes, my example is the Grinch, and I know it's not Christmas, but it's such a wonderful example of someone who hated a whole group of people, the who. And why? Just because they were happy. They were so nice, always holding hands and singing. Ugh, who wants that kind of stuff? So that's what he was, and he really, we know the story, he really wanted to spoil their Christmas. He wanted to take away their joy. But he didn't do it, because the who knew that Christmas didn't really have anything to do about gifts. They were coming from their heart. They were celebrating Jesus through all of this, and the birth of Jesus. And so then when the Grinch realized that that's what was going on, and that love got into his heart, it grew, and there was no room anywhere in his heart for hate. And suddenly he started living out these verses, and that he loved God, but also his brothers and his sisters. His heart was too full of love to have any hate. And whenever I watch this, I always wonder, why did the Grinch hate the Who so much? We know it's because he says, oh, they're just so sweet. They're just so nice. They're always singing. But I wonder if it was something else. I wonder if there was some fear in there with the Grinch somewhere. What is it that the Who represented that he was afraid of? Maybe he was afraid of being left out. If he made them just as miserable as he was, then he would have company. And so that's what he decided to do. So instead of joining them in their love and their happiness, instead he wanted to take that away from them so they could join him in his misery. But it didn't work that way, because the who were so full of love that it was there. It was oozing out of them. And the Grinch was able to join in on that. But I do think that there was fear that was underlying the Grinch's hatred of this group of people. And many times I think that's what underlies our dislike or hatred of groups of people. But John addressed that in this passage here. In verse 18, he says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love." So he's saying, if you love, all the fear will go away. Just concentrate on loving. And that's what we need to do, to have this kind of perfect love. And John is telling us that we can't. There's one thing we cannot do. We can't say that we love God if we're also hating someone else. And maybe hate is too strong a word. Maybe we like to say dislike instead of hate. But still, what John is getting at is that love and hate cannot mix. We can't have the two. And he's bringing together these two commandments, these parallel commandments of loving God and loving your neighbor. And not only is he saying that we need to do both, he's saying that they're tied together, that we can't love God if we're hating our neighbor. And that stings, if you really think about it. Because they actually said, if you say you love God but hate your neighbor, you are lying. But how do we do this? Some people are unlovable. Am I the only one who thinks that? I mean, some people are just really, really hard to love. But so how do we do it? First, it helps us to remember that God loved us before we were lovable. We were unlovable, unlovely, unworthy of any love from God. But that love was there for us and is there for us. And God loves all God's children. So every child of God, which is everybody, is worthy of being loved by God. And so if God can love that way, we're expected to as well. That's what God wants from us. We have to follow God's pattern and love those people who may even be a little bit difficult to love. Because we love because God first loved us. And the way to do this is by abiding in God, spending time with God. God is the source of true love and all love. And when we stay connected to God, then we are connected to that source of love, because that is God's primary trait. And that's how God has defined God's self. As love, self-sacrificing love that we can see every time we think of Jesus on that cross. That was self-sacrificing love. And that is what we're being told to do. And when we do that, just like the Grinch, there won't be any room in our hearts for hate. And we will feel, hopefully it won't be as painful as it was for the Grinch when we feel. But that's how we can share this kind of agape love with everyone around us. But it takes courage, because we're afraid of what we don't know, what we don't understand, what we don't agree with. We tend to be afraid of that. So it takes courage to love this way, but it is what God wants from us. So I want y'all, all of us, to examine our hearts, to ask God to point out to us, who are our who's? And where might our fear be? And then just ask God to help us clear that away and see the other person or people the way God sees them, so that we can love God and love our neighbor. It's pretty simple. Love God, love your neighbor. It's just not easy. So we need to pray, ask God to help us with it, and stay connected to the true source of love. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us, even though we don't deserve it. And help us to love others the way you love us. Give us the strength, courage, and wisdom to agape all, even those we may disagree with. Open our eyes to those we might consider to be unworthy of our love, and convict us of the ways we need to change. Then give us the courage to actually change. We ask all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.